As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. NFL Draft Day. That means a lot in Pittsburgh, and especially this year because... And I had a friend ask me, guys, yesterday, who I will not name, where's that at? And I said, it's in Green Bay. Oh, I thought it was here. No, that's next year. Yeah, and I just heard about it. I said, when? Yesterday.
Wow.
So, which tells you we're so immersed every day in what's going on in the news that people are living their lives, doing their thing. Like Marty says, you know. Wednesday goes to Thursday.
Yeah. We get tired of doing a story in the newsroom when sometimes people are just getting acquainted with it.
And there was an old, you know, school of thought when you were a disc jockey, when you were absolutely sick of playing that song,
mm-hmm.
That's when people start asking, oh, what's that new song you're playing?
Right.
So the assumption is just because you talk about it and it's been talked about and been on television and in papers and everything. We've heard a lot about the NFL draft. Someone who I consider pretty plugged in was confused.
Even at a time when news and information is even more immediate and instantly available, even at a time like this, it still takes time for things to filter through.
That's 100% true. So don't make any assumptions. Somebody wants, you know, even though you have like the mayor on, you would assume everyone knows who the mayor is. Well, you have to attribute, in this case, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey, and at least say that once so people know. By the way, his team, members of his team, are in Green Bay to cover the draft as observers to see how Green Bay is handling it. Green Bay is the smallest market in the NFL. And Pittsburgh is also one of the smaller markets. So the fact that we have this draft coming next year is a big deal economically, as you may or may not have heard. But the Gainey administration and others are there, including, I would imagine there's contingents from Allegheny County, around the region, Steelers organization, who are observing how Green Bay is going to handle this. And you remember last year in Detroit, those visuals of hundreds of thousands of people gathered.
It was a win-win-win-win-win for Detroit in terms of how that city came across. Made a huge difference. By the way, you mentioned Mayor Gainey, and he had a get-together, I guess, with some top deputies. And here's what he had to say to KDKA-TV about the upcoming draft, I think.
They're in Green Bay right now, just looking at one, or taking a look at the city. Two, what's going on in the city? Any type of techniques we can learn from the city, like we can better implement here. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So he sent a delegation, I guess would be the best description of people.
Yeah,
and take notes in Green Bay.
And as I mentioned, there'll be many doing the same thing from the region. Say, hey, what can we do, and how can we make it a success here next year? It's going to be a big deal. And Aaron will be watching tonight till midnight.
Think about it this way. You know, we're thinking in terms of the event itself and the crowd that will be here and taking care of them as guests. But think about all the other things that come into this. Traffic management, trash collection, cordoning off streets, you know, police protection. All of these things have to be coordinated through the city together with the NFL.
That said, the Cardinals in Rome and the Vatican are responsible for the planning of the funeral and the process that's going on right now while Pope Francis lies in state.
And have I got a story for you on that, Larry? I haven't got to it yet, but I will. It says here, so many people lined up to see Pope Francis at St. Peter's Basilica. The Vatican kept the doors open all night. They closed for only 1 hour between 6 and 7 a.m. today.
And with more details, CBS's Tina Kraus.
The faithful lined up for a second day to pay their respects to Pope Francis as he lies in state at St. Peter's Basilica. Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni was among the tens of thousands of mourners to walk past the Pope's simple wooden coffin yesterday, with crowds, including many Americans, filing in well past midnight.
Walking in there, it was so silent, but you could feel how much people really cared about him and how much love there was for this man.
The outpouring of love for Pope Francis is incredible. I waited for just over 3 hours to see him, and the atmosphere inside St. Peter's Basilica is truly touching, with mourners given more than a moment but precious time to pray, to take photos, to remember the solemn occasion. Around 170 dignitaries and heads of state are expected to attend the Pope's funeral on Saturday, which Vatican officials say will mostly take place outside in St. Peter's Square. The College of Cardinals continues to meet as anticipation grows for the conclave, the historic process to select the next pontiff.
It's going to mean a lot to the world. Choosing a new pope will be huge.
Pope Francis was a fan of soccer, or as the rest of the world calls it, football. Yesterday, fans of his beloved hometown football club, San Lorenzo, celebrated Mass in his honor in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Italy's top league, Serie A, held moments of silence in his memory Wednesday before resuming matches. Pope Francis's body will lie in state for 2 more days, giving crowds plenty of time to get a personal moment with him before his funeral Mass here in St. Peter's Square on Saturday.
CBS's Tina Kraus, and many dignitaries, as you might expect, will attend the funeral Saturday, including President Trump and the First Lady. And there will be many others, and we'll continue the coverage through the weekend here on KDOW. Looking out into the newsroom, I see our news editor, Pat Septak, and you're talking about the NFL draft, and I'm thinking next year when the draft is in Pittsburgh, Pat could make a fortune. All he has to do is take his accordion around and play the Steelers fight song everywhere. People would throw money at him. Cryptocurrency, whatever.
Well, or maybe visit Pittsburgh and whoever else is coordinating this thing can make a special announcement of some kind that Pat will be performing at thus and such, and they can give him a nice check for that.
Yeah, we're going to make Pat rich. You're going to be so rich, richer than you ever imagined.
Maybe he can play the Steelers fight song at the opening ceremonies right there from the stage with Roger Goodell standing nearby.
Commissioner, please welcome Pat Septak and his happy accordion.
I love it. That would be so classic. That could happen, or something like it.
We're going to make it happen.
Seriously.
We're going to will this into existence.
I would love to hear that.
That's right.
That would be such a Pittsburgh touch on that event.
Yeah, we're going to lobby for you, buddy. You'll be like that woman. What was that woman that sang the opera that won that?
Oh, Susan Boyle.
Yes.
Yep.
She was just a cell phone salesperson minding her own business.
And then they heard her sing, and
some
wow.
Some people felt a little, I hate to say this, but little homely, and then she came out of her shell. She became a beautiful butterfly.
The voice is a spectacular
voice.
She
blossomed.
Voice of an angel. And now I could see the same thing. Not to say Pat's homely.
Oh, nice work, Larry.
No, quite the opposite. He's like a Robert Goulet type looking guy. Ask Daphne Turner up in Slippery Rock.
I was going to say his biggest fan.
Well, she's got a poster of him, I heard,
oh,
in her bedroom. Meanwhile,
you know, Pat's trademark, by the way, is that big smile when he's playing, just like the great accordionist Myron Florin used to smile when he played for Lawrence Welk.
And I noticed a couple of years now ago when he purchased a new Lederhosen and that he strapped in, there was an additional smile. Meanwhile, have you seen the Ice Buck Challenge is back?
Oh, no.
All over.
Oh, yeah. And it's causing a little consternation. I'll tell you why. Originally, the Ice Bucket Challenge was helping fund ALS treatment and research. Okay, so who could be against trying to do that?
Yeah.
But now this year, it's to support Speak Your Mind Mental Health Initiative. And supporters of ALS are saying, hey, that was our idea. By the way, do you know how much money they raised in the original Ice Bucket Challenge? $115 million. And so people are doing it again where they have it depends on how devious people want to get, how much ice and water is dumped on them.
You've had quite a few coworkers.
Yeah. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time and I'm seeing it now.
Yeah. So it's back. How about this? What scares people more than death? Not having enough money in retirement.
I believe that.
60% of working Americans ages 25 and older say they're terrified of running out of money in the golden years, which wouldn't make them golden years if you are broke.
Right.
But it's a major concern, and it's been ramped up right now because of the last few years of inflation and question marks about Social Security in the future.
Have you noticed, as you do your thing during the day when you're going from place to place and doing business, have you noticed the number of older workers seems to be increasing?
It is.
I'm noticing this.
Twofold. One, did you see the birth rate is only 1%? And
yeah,
they're actually now forecasting that there will be a shortage of younger workers later, too.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is people get to that retirement, they need some extra bucks. And here's the good news for the people that are hiring them is they're good workers.
They are. Yep.
They show up on time. They don't say, yeah, I want to work, but I only want to work.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't want to work weekends, and I don't want to work nights or holidays, and I don't want to work Fridays. And, you know, so that's kind of where they're at with some people that they're trying to hire. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not practical. But in the case of hiring older workers, they're much more reliable. And that makes sense. When a UPS driver dropped off a package at a house party in Melbourne, Florida, she says the host invited her in. Later, her mail truck was spotted weaving on the wrong side of the road and got pulled over.
Uh-oh.
Police came. They pulled her over, and she admitted she might have had a few Jell-O shots at a party.
I was going to say, one too many pina coladas poolside.
Be kind to your UPS drivers and postal workers.
But not that kind.
But please don't feed them Jell-O shots.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Here, Betty. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, saying nothing about the people that didn't get their mail after she made that last stop.
Hey, well, what booze is the best to use when you're talking Jell-O? I've never done this before.
I don't know. I'll have to ask.
Vodka? Is that the one? Or
that's a great question. That's a...
Would some take a flavored Jell-O, I guess.
Ethereal question. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Gene Walker. Gene, did anyone ever tell you that sounds like a great sports name? Now batting, Gene Walker, who in this case happens to be Pittsburgh Public School Board member. Gene, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, Larry. And it was a good sports name back in the 90s when I played at Peabody High School.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you had a meeting last night, and the night before was to meet some potential candidates. How many seats are open on the board, just out of curiosity? I heard five. Is that right?
They're correct, yeah. There are five seats open this time. Two incumbents are running, and then several newcomers for three other seats.
And in total, how many school board seats do you have?
There are nine total school board seats.
So that's
every 2 years, we flip-flop between the even and odd number districts.
Yeah, and that can obviously make a big difference. I bring this up because when people are making choices, you know, sometimes those things are as important as any in the impact it might have on a person's community and their life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the system is set up that way for continuous change, but I think this year in particular, we're hoping to maintain kind of the course that we're taking right now to continue to progress.
And by the way, you're able to see Gene Walker on the radio with our live stream at kdkradio.com presented by Metropolitan Window Company. That said, last night, what was the focus? Because last we heard, it was a conversation that's going to continue about what schools to close in the future.
Yeah, last night's focus was fairly standard, just normal contracts stuff. There is, I think the big item on the agenda is whether or not we will approve the TRID for the Manchester Esplanade project. As far as schools closures and those conversations, we're still waiting on information from the superintendent before we can bring that up for further discussion. So I think we're in a holding pattern there.
All right. What is the status? That Esplanade, it's a 15-acre site along the river, and we talked to Lucas Pyatt, who is the man behind it. How does the school board have anything to do with what Esplanade wants to do?
Yeah, so a lot of these big projects, especially like this one, require all of the three taxing bodies, so the city, the county, and the school district, to approve some measure of tax abatement or tax freeze on that property in order for the developer to actually pull off the project. And so we're the second in line to make some decisions on whether or not we will hold the line on what the current taxes are, to allow any additional potential tax revenue to be reinvested into the community.
Yeah, and I would think, and as I understand, we had an extensive conversation about that, there will be housing as part of that development, which will increase the tax base for Pittsburgh Public Schools, correct?
Yeah, correct. There's some significant housing and projected significant investments into the Manchester community, you know, to make sure that folks can stay in their homes and upgrade their homes and just create a nicer part of the area or an improved part of the area, because it's pretty nice already.
And that said, we're with Gene Walker, Pittsburgh Public School Board member. Gene, I know before you know it, school's going to be over for this session. We're a week away from May already and trending into the summer. I know one of the first and foremost concerns is where do we stand in terms of students learning and testing in Pittsburgh Public Schools?
Yeah, you know, I think we're trending in the right direction. All of the reports that we've seen over the last few months are that, you know, reading scores and math scores are improving. Graduation rates are in a really good place. And I think that many of the initiatives and strategies that the superintendent has been putting in place over the last couple of years are starting to show, you know, bear some fruit for us. So I think things are looking up. We just need to keep working hard and keep our students at the forefront of all of our decision-making.
All right, Gene, the most important question is, who are the Steelers going to pick tonight?
That is a good question. I want them to bring in a D lineman. I think they need someone to shore up and stop the run, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Who knows on draft day?
Well, there's a big D lineman called Kenneth Grant that a lot of people would like them to pick. We'll see what happens. Gene, appreciate the time. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely there. Thank you.
You got it. Gene Walker, Pittsburgh Public School Board member, right here.
And from the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, what will the Steelers do with the 21st pick in tonight's first round of the NFL draft? Will it be a quarterback? Here's GM Omar Khan.
Players out there, you know, I don't think we're saying, hey, we're taking this position in this round and or that round, and we'll just let it come to us.
It'll be round and round until they actually pick, and then we'll know.
And on Wednesday, a dozen states sued the Trump administration in the U.S. Court of International Trade over tariff policy in a legal battle over presidential power.
Congress has the sole authority to set tariff policy. And to that end, Congress has enacted various laws that allow the president to implement tariffs under certain conditions.
So the battle continues. That said, this next story will get a lot of attention.
Oh, absolutely. 145% tariffs as they stand right now on fireworks made in China have U.S. retailers, Larry, canceling orders ahead of Independence Day. They can't afford to bring them over, they say.
And as you
this
know,
this is the Big K Morning Show. Good morning. Welcome to a summer day in Pittsburgh.
So it's a big 85. Hit.
And it's a big business.
If you like and warmth and summer, you're going to love today.
Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I mentioned
so
U.S.
I'm guessing
Steel.
Since the president said Paul yesterday
in an op-ed
he was
piece
considering
in the Hill
some of those numbers down.
In general, they try to be
nonpartisan. He made the announcement that some
they cover whatever's going on in Washington.
The question I would have, Larry, is if they do work something out,
a story about why.
Is it going to be too
Donald
late
Trump
for this year's celebration?
Josh Shapiro
will the fireworks supply be okay?
Or U.S. Steel, why it would be
will
good
the supply
for
chain be behind
America
the curve?
Because you would keep manufacturing here and you would be able to combat China, who's dumping steel. And so, interestingly enough, over $1 billion in infrastructure in the Mon Valley, as you know, would go a long way.
Well, actually, I think that they're going to double that amount in the merger agreement that, as it's been amended and not approved yet. And I would say, Larry, that if that is the case, that China is doing what it's been doing in the steel market, it's encouraging to see that Hyundai is going to build a $6 billion plant to make steel for their auto production. They're going to do that in Louisiana. So you would think that the administration would be on the side of expanding that in the Mon Valley as well.
And we'll see where that goes and continue to follow that story. Speaking of Washington, the clock is ticking. That says Phil Kirpan, who joins us now as the president of the America Commitment Unleash Prosperity. Phil, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You know, it's tough in Washington to get a consensus on anything these days. So what is the clock ticking over when it comes to the American average household?
Well, if we get to the end of this calendar year and they haven't got their act together on taxes, then all of the 2017 tax cuts go away. And so what that means is the child credit gets cut in half from $2,000 to $1,000. The standard deduction gets cut in half. The death tax exemption gets cut in half. All of the rates go up. And the small business exclusion goes away. And so basically the small business tax, or really all non-corporate businesses, even large ones, the tax goes from 29% and change to 40% plus. And so this is a real economic disaster pending if they don't cancel this tax hike that's kind of coming down the track at us. And they wasted a bunch of months. I mean, here we are, it's almost May. They wasted most of the year in this dumb debate about whether they were going to do the tax bill by itself later in the year or as part of this bigger one beautiful bill and, you know, one bill, two bill, three bills, instead of just getting the work done. The good news is they did finally agree on a budget resolution before they left for their two-week Easter break. And isn't it nice that Congress gets a two-week Easter break? right? I mean, so they have finally cleared that first hurdle, and they'll at least, from a procedural standpoint, be able to start writing the bill when they get back. But you know, even on that, you know, normally when you have an agreement on a budget, that means you agreed on how much you're going to spend and how much you're going to tax. They didn't really do that because they have different spending numbers for the House committees in the budget than they have for the Senate committees. And so they sort of agreed to disagree, but at least it gets us to the next step here, and we might finally see some legislative text on a tax title sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, Phil, so that brings the next question up. What kind of support is there in both the House and Senate in terms of the GOP and the Democrats? I know that I think I've heard Speaker Johnson speak in favor of extending the tax cuts. Am I right?
Yeah, Republican support is pretty solid, certainly from the leadership. Every version of the budget, every Democrat has voted against. So I think it's fair to say they want the tax hike to hit. But, you know, you can have near consensus among Republicans, and that might not quite get it done because they have such a tiny majority. You need essentially everyone to agree. Thomas Massey, who, you know, God bless him, he's going to vote no because he votes no now on everything. And so you can really only lose, I think, one or two more Republicans and still get something through the House. So they're walking a tightrope. The challenge is not that there's a lot of disagreement among leadership on substance. It's that once you start writing the details, when you need to keep every single vote, that becomes difficult. And so that's where we are right now. And even getting to this point, as I said, was difficult. But they are now at the point where they're going to start writing the actual details.
And if they don't do anything, Phil, you're suggesting this would, on average, hit the American taxpayer's household by $3,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the average. The Heritage Foundation calculated that. That's the average. Of course, you know, it varies a lot depending on how many kids you have and so forth, because that child credit getting cut in half means, you know, people with minor children at home will get hit the hardest. But, you know, everyone's going to get a tax hike because every single rate goes up and the standard deduction goes down. So the amount will vary somewhat, but on average, yeah, it's going to be about $3,000.
Okay, Phil, so if this doesn't get done and the tax cuts end, at what point on the calendar does that happen? And would that be before the midterm elections?
Well, it would be January 1st. It would be for tax year 2026. And so you wouldn't see the change when you file your taxes in April, because that would be for 2025. But you would see, you know, you would see changes in your withholding, you know, right away in January of next year if they don't get this done. So they need to get this done. It would have a major effect, certainly on the elections. And, you know, every Republican in America pretty much promised no tax hike if you vote for them. And so if they let this happen, they would have a huge problem.
Well, hopefully it will get done. Phil, thanks for bringing it to our attention.
My pleasure. Have a good one, guys.
You got it. That's Phil Kirpin, president of the American Commitment. That said, you know, there's so much going on. Some of this stuff flies under the radar. And in reality, that would be something that would hit home for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you something, Larry. His description of what's going on, the inertia that just keeps things from happening in Congress, it was a really well explained.
Yeah, he did a good job of detailing. That
gave me a better idea what the heck's going on. One thing is for sure. I mean, the pattern is very clear for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years. They're working right up to deadlines all the time, especially on budget, right?
Yeah, 100%. They can't even agree in Congress if today's Thursday. In Green Bay today, and including a contingent from the mayor's office, others who are kind of checking out what they do in Green Bay as we get ready to host the draft next April here in Pittsburgh. And joining us, Kate Irwin is Senior Director of Economic Development right here in Pittsburgh. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for inviting me this morning.
Yeah, tell me, what can we take from what's happened in, let's just say, the last two drafts and make downtown Pittsburgh and the region, you know, ready for a year from now?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to share some of the work that the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership's been doing already in leading downtown's transformation. And a key component of the current transformation is a retail strategy to accelerate kind of the current momentum we have in downtown and kind of getting us ready for the NFL draft and then kind of what comes beyond the NFL draft.
You know what, Kate? In my opinion, it couldn't come at a better time because there have been many factors influencing cities, and certainly COVID was one big one. But really, there was a trend before that for the big box stores to move out of the cities, you know, and the way people shop and buy and do retail has changed tremendously. So what is the vision for Pittsburgh in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really what we're working to do is working to transform downtown into a multi-use neighborhood. One of the things that we've seen, you know, as you said, since 2019, you know, smaller format retail spaces, so sort of that under 5,000 square feet, those kind of are really leading a lot of the lease-up rates. So we're seeing a lot of shift to kind of smaller local businesses versus those big box kind of department stores and big retailers.
Kate, what is being done? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just a lot of our work has been focusing on how we kind of activate some of those spaces and get some new leases downtown.
And that's my next question. What strategy are you employing to reach out to people who would use up the smaller retail space?
Sure, yeah. So right now, the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership has two retail programs. We have Project Pop-Up, which is sunsetting a little bit as we've shifted a lot of our focus to the Downtown Rent Abatement Program. And that program helps folks by supplementing their first year's rent in a multi-year lease. And so we can help kind of contribute to some of those startup costs and reduce some of those barriers. And we've seen since 2024, when we launched that project, out of the 17 new businesses that have opened in downtown, 8 of those came through one of our two retail programs. So we're sort of seeing that really generate some energy and some new leasing.
You know, to that point, I think a lot of people miss the fact that small businesses are really the backbone of the economy of cities like Pittsburgh, too. I mean, you always have your kind of anchor tenants, so to speak, whether those bring jobs and economic prosperity, but in terms of just the daily, the small business men and women are the ones who are doing the work.
Absolutely. You know, they're the ones that, you know, when you put dollars into them, those dollars stay in the local economy and really kind of continue to contribute at a exponential rate. And so we've focused quite a bit over the past 2 years supporting the small business community in downtown Pittsburgh and bringing more of those small businesses into downtown. But we still have some of those larger square foot spaces, which presents some big opportunities if we're able to kind of find the right match. And so that's also part of our strategy sort of moving forward. We're working with a retail consultant, Catherine Timko of the Riddle Company, on working on how to recruit national retailers back to downtown to fill some of those larger spaces so the small spaces can really be more suitable and active with our local businesses.
And finally, Kate, what should Pittsburghers expect to see as change between now and next April when we host the NFL draft?
Well, I mean, there is from infrastructure projects to additional kind of retail tenants. There's a lot of momentum in downtown. We're really trying to kind of lead and accelerate this transformation through good data and a lot of collaboration. Market Square modernization is underway. Arts Landing is being built. Those are set to premiere before the draft. And we're working really diligently with a lot of our partners to fill some of these additional street-level businesses so that there's a lot of vibrancy and excitement in downtown.
Yeah, I think it's great that we have a focal point for everybody in the region to kind of, okay, let's do as much as we can. And at the end of the day, after that draft weekend next year, we'll be the beneficiaries collectively by having all these things get done.
Exactly. There's a lot of momentum, and we definitely want to capitalize on that and kind of keep the movement going.
All right, Kate, appreciate the time this morning. Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Kate Irwin, Senior Director of Economic Development, Downtown Partnership.
Larry, just in from the National Weather Service, they say we have an elevated risk of wildfire spread late this morning through early this evening. We're going to have a warm temp, right? 85 for a high. The relative humidity is going to be in the 20% range. And you've got all these dry fuels and leaf litter lying around. And even though the winds are kind of calm or low, it's still possible between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. today for a wildfire. I mean, look what's going on in New Jersey.
I was just going to say, when I saw some video and shots of what the wildfires are doing in New Jersey, it looks like California.
Yeah, I'm working on a story right now for our 7:30 news about that. This is taking place, by the way, in Ocean County, New Jersey. So that's a very popular tourist spot.
And we're not used to seeing wildfires like this.
No, I mean, this is as mind-boggling as the one we just had up in Long Island.
Right. And that was 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. For the month of April, it's unheard of.
So again, we have an elevated risk of wildfire spread from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. today. National Weather Service says the area involved is south of I-80.
That is unusual, especially for Pittsburgh for April. Every Thursday at this time on the Big K Morning Show, we welcome the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson from Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. And you can see Doc on the radio and our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Doc, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry and Paul. How's it going?
Good. Right off the top, our afternoon host, Colin Dunlap, was talking about this yesterday, walking trails and people having some dogs not on a leash, and it creates, in some instances, a very uncomfortable situation. What is your advice to people? Because, you know, you don't want to be that guy, but at the same time, it's not cool that dogs aren't leashed because you never know what might happen.
Yeah, especially in high traffic areas. I mean, it's your responsibility to control your dog. And if you have them off a leash, it can be difficult, especially when other dogs come up and approach your dog. And, you know, I have a son that does a lot of hiking, and he takes his dog with him. And he said, yeah, I take him off leash occasionally, but if there's a lot of people where dogs are around, I keep him on leash. I said, well, how do you know? Coming around the bend. So I don't like it. I think they should be under control at all times, but I get it.
Okay, so it's hard to have that conversation with somebody. Hey, it's none of my business, but it is my business if your dog's, you know, messing with my dog, so to speak.
Do we not have leash laws here?
Yeah, we do have leash laws.
Yeah, then they have a tendency to take off after wildlife, and then you hear about the pet getting lost. So, you know, I always say, why would you risk that?
You're right. Okay, we got questions from your fans.
Okay, Greg, in South Fayette, Dr. Mike is asking about hearing a lot about turmeric and golden paste for pets. Is it safe for dogs? Can it help with inflammation or arthritis?
What is golden paste?
Yeah, so golden paste is kind of a, I don't know, novelty item now. I think it's for humans, but I had to look it up when one of my clients asked me about that previously. And it contains a little bit of oil, like coconut oil or olive oil, and some piperine, which is pepper, black pepper, because that makes the curcumin that's in turmeric paste more available. And yet, it is. I have curcumin on my cancer list. It's a great antioxidant. It's a great anti-inflammatory. But in a dog, when you mix it with those things, you have to be real careful, you know, because GI side effects. They could be vomiting, diarrhea, things like that. Not every dog likes pepper. So I would just be careful with it. In general, it's safe. And to answer his question, yeah, it is a good anti-inflammatory. So it might help with your dog's arthritis. But be very careful. Maybe speak to your vet before you start it.
Emily in Robinson Township wants to know, my older cat's coat has become really dull and flaky. Could this be a nutrition issue or is it just age related?
Well, it could be both. I mean, nutrition would be the first thing I would look at. Make sure you have it on a senior diet. We do increase the protein in those diets as they get older, which really does help them. And make sure they're on fatty acids, omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil. Other than that, when I see flakes on a cat, I'm always checking for external parasites, lice, you know, things like that, mites, fleas. And then, of course, I'm always talking about fun things, I know. And then, of course, older cats can get diseases, and a rough, you know, flaky coat could be a sign of disease, like hyperthyroidism, kidney disease, diabetes, arthritis. They won't groom themselves as much when they get arthritis. So I would have your vet check that out.
Hannah in Edgewood, Dr. Mike, says she wants to give her dog raw bones as treats, but that she's heard mixed advice on it. Are there safe options or should she skip them altogether?
Well, there is mixed advice. I do use raw bones in my dogs. I use them, but the knuckle bones, the big bones or the big femur bone, you know, the leg bone, something that you supervise to make sure they're not splintering them. They can splinter those large bones. So watch your dog if you're going to use bones. Some people are worried about salmonella, which is fair in a raw bone, but you can boil it for a few minutes and help prevent that. I don't boil my dog's bones. I just put them in the freezer. Make sure you supervise them. And the reason you get mixed reviews is individuals could break a tooth on them. So there are safe alternatives. They have those Nyla bones. They have a lot of Kong toys and a lot of dental chews that are very, very safe for their teeth. But I would, I like them. But that's the reason you're hearing mixed reviews.
And Doc, before you go, just curious, I drive through North Park a lot. I see a lot of deer in the daylight, and their coats seem, I don't know, they don't look healthy. Is there something going on that you know of?
Well, they're going through their shed. They're starting to get rid of their winter coat. I have the same thing around my property. You know, the deer I see, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I see it every year. So this is one of the times of year that they're starting to shed that winter coat. So I'm very observant. That's what they do kind of look rough.
Yeah, they do. But it makes sense now that you say that. And being that it'll be 85 today, they better hurry up and shed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Doc, always appreciate the time. We will talk to you next month, next Thursday.
Can you believe how fast? You know, nice talking to you guys.
It's rolling. All right, the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson, Animal General. You can go to kdkradio.com. We have a link to Animal.
Will the Steelers do with the 21st pick in tonight's first round of the NFL draft? Will it be a quarterback? GM Omar Khan.
There's some really good players out there. You know, I don't think we're saying, hey, we're taking this position in this round and or that round, and we'll just let it come to us.
Yeah, Omar Khan, the GM, and Mike Tomlin, the coach, sat there and fielded the questions. Bottom line is, all this speculation, none of it matters until they make their picks.
Well, I mean, he's been talking a little bit about Shedeur Sanders, but is that a smokescreen, right?
Yeah, or is it reverse psychology? We'll find out.
I guess they're getting what they want out of that, right? Wednesday, a dozen states sued the Trump administration in the U.S. Court of International Trade over tariff policy in a legal battle over presidential power.
Congress has the sole authority to set tariff policy. And to that end, Congress has enacted various laws that allow the president to implement tariffs under certain conditions.
And the question will continue. Bottom line is, that's all people have been talking about. And when the president says he will and then won't, that changes the market dramatically.
It changed the market significantly yesterday morning. But then after big gains, it kind of came back a little. Still an up day. 145% tariffs, Larry, on fireworks made in China have U.S. retailers canceling their orders ahead of Independence Day.
And this is not just any Independence Day. It is the 250th Independence Day. And I'm just curious if, as the president indicated yesterday, that he might work with China to lower those tariffs, if that'll make a difference fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a supply chain problem, we're going to be looking at very expensive and limited supply of fireworks.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, and our special guest on this Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day, a national event that originated in New York City in 1992 as Take Your Daughters to Work. And then it's why not, let's bring all the kids in. And today, my granddaughter, Georgia Papson, is in studio.
Hello.
About to turn 9 tomorrow.
Yes.
You're going to be part of our Big K Morning Show birthdays.
Yeah.
Good morning. And you met Paul Rasmussen.
I did.
He's
an
anchor.
Right behind me.
He's right behind you in his anchor booth. We keep him separated from everyone in that booth. And then you met Erin Farragoni, our producer.
Yes.
And Erin remembers going with her mom to work when she was probably not much older than you, right, Erin?
Right. I definitely was probably around your age, Georgia. And it's so fun. And what funner place to be than a fish tank with Larry.
Yeah.
Looks like a big aquarium, right, in the studios here?
You know, my mother took me to work with her back in the 60s when it was Take Your Son to Work Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
My mother worked at a television station, and she sometimes had to go back to work in the evening to finish the work that she was doing.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
She would take me with her.
My parents took me to the zoo, but somehow I found my way home. So, Georgia, let's share some background. I want people to know you're a gymnast, right?
Yeah.
Level 7 at Jewart's.
Yeah.
And you recently, in Philadelphia, took second place on the balance beam in the entire state. I showed Erin that. She couldn't believe it. Right, Erin?
You're so clean in your finishes. It's amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, Erin was a dancer, Point Park University downtown. And so you've been doing this a while, though.
Yeah, I did dance, though.
You did dance first before gymnastics, which actually helps in things like your floor routine.
Yeah, floor.
And you got some big events coming up. I know in June at Jewart's, there's a big performance event.
Oh, yeah, the dance thing.
Who's your favorite gymnast? Simone Biles?
No.
No?
Jordan Chiles.
Oh, yeah? And I know that you've seen some of these gymnasts perform. So as you turn 9 and you're a level 7, I know you're excited. Are you going to stay a 7 or are you going to go up to 8?
It depends how the summer goes, but I'm only 9. So I'm technically 8, but I turn 9 tomorrow.
Right. I know. And then after that, the sky's the limit. So you go to which school?
I go to Wexford Elementary School.
And who's your homeroom teacher?
Mrs. Reederer, but we call her Mrs. R.
What do you call her?
Mrs. R.
Mrs. R. Okay. And what's your favorite subject?
Math.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Yeah.
And what music do you like to listen to?
Country.
Oh, yeah. And I know. So Odyssey Pittsburgh is, you guys know, we have 5 radio stations. One of those is Y108.
Yes, it is.
And Cousin Cal works there on the morning show with Amanda.
Uh-huh.
And did you know my first professional radio job was at Y108?
That's cool.
Playing country music.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah. Paul, you were a disc jockey, too, in your day.
Mm-hmm. I did a little country as well.
What's your favorite country artist? Who do you like? What music?
Luke Combs or Ella Langley.
Okay. How about Kenny Chesney?
No.
No? I know your mom and I like Kenny Chesney. You don't?
No.
All right, so what are you going to do all summer?
Chill.
Just chill. All right, so I know that you have an opportunity. You're going to go visit Kale.
Yeah.
They're going to let you pick some music, and they're going to give you a quiz, a pop quiz.
Yes.
Since you know math. So I am really excited to have you be here on KDK Radio.
I'm excited, too.
Well, I know they got a whole list of things planned for all the kids that are coming on Take Your Kids to Work Day.
Yeah.
Anybody you want to say hello to?
Yaya.
Okay.
Mrs. R.
All right.
Lucy. Ayla, my team.
And the people at Jewart's?
Oh, yeah, and Laney.
Laney, you can't forget your coach.
Yeah.
All right, G. Georgia Papson, budding gymnast star, and about to turn 9 tomorrow. So, Paul, thank you. And Aaron, thank you.
Good luck with your test, Georgia.
Yes, thank have you. The best day.
Thank you.
And a big birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
All right, I love you.
Love you. I'm
so proud of you.
Thank you.
You make a pappy proud. You make a pappy happy. And at 85 and sunny, and we're climbing close to 60 degrees at Pittsburgh International. And coming up, Trending with T. But first, we welcome Jared Bacher, who is the president and CEO of Visit Pittsburgh. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good to be with you.
And you are live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, right?
Live from the 25 NFL draft right here in Green Bay, absolutely.
And I know there are a contingent of people there to see how the NFL draft works, how Green Bay's handling it, obviously to prepare for Pittsburgh and the draft coming in 2026 next year.
Absolutely. We've got a pretty good-sized delegation here who are looking at everything from just general planning, logistics, seeing a lot of the events that are taking place firsthand, of course, and how we could start replicating those or planning for those in Pittsburgh. There's a lot, as you know, that goes into planning these kinds of events. So there's a lot of different angles that we're trying to make sure we really see how Green Bay is delivering them, so we can make sure we can do even a little bit better in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would imagine each host city, and this is our first for the NFL draft, has a unique way to present it, but I'm sure you'll get some good ideas of the do's and don'ts.
Absolutely. And this is also a chance to see how some of the other cities, and we did the same thing in Detroit and in Kansas City as we went through the bidding process, but we're able to really see how these cities are putting their destination front and center in the NFL draft. Obviously, at the end of the day, this is an NFL event. They're here for the draft. They want to make sure that the event goes well for the prospects and the fans and so forth. But our job is to make sure that we figure out how to make sure Pittsburgh is also a star in this whole process. So a great opportunity to really promote the city, not only to the 700,000 fans that we're expecting, but also those 50 million viewers that are going to be watching this on their screens all around the world. So it's a really exciting opportunity.
It is. And those eyes on Pittsburgh and the work being done here between this year and next year's draft will make the city and the region better. And then after that weekend, we're the beneficiaries, right?
That's right. There's a lot of things that are obviously being invested in now. You know, there's a lot going on in redevelopment of Market Square, on Penn Avenue with Arts Landing, lots of upgrades going into Point State Park. So all of this will continue to benefit all of our residents and future visitors. So it really is an exciting opportunity to make sure that there's some legacy that comes out of hosting the draft.
Well, listen, Jared, have a great weekend, and we'll be anxious to hear from you. Maybe we'll check in with you next week and kind of get a feel for what you and your team have encountered.
Absolutely. Anytime, Larry. Appreciate your time.
All right. Go to visitpittsburgh.com. It's a great resource. Jared Bacher. And coming up next, Trending with T. And our own Tamira Rush is in studio, along with Georgia Papson, our
she
Take
is
Your Child
so
to Work Day.
Cute and well-spoken.
Thank
My
you.
My goodness.
Thank you.
That is so great to see that she can hold her own. She sat up here and she actually held a conversation with you. I mean, kudos to the district that she's a part of, because they are doing a fantastic job, Larry.
All right. Well, thank you, T. But it take your daughters and sons to work day. Do you remember her mother?
Yes, used to come with Jasmine.
That's right.
And they would sit
together. We've been there that long.
We've been there. And I'm tears are coming out of my eyes. It's crazy how time flies. It's so fast. It's like you snap your fingers and they're adults. But to see her here sitting here, it just brings tears to my eyes. Because I remember my kids all came. But it was like you said, it was take your daughter.
Originally.
Right. And then they changed that. And now it's, you know, take your kids to work. But there's a theme for this year. It's take your child to work day. It's for a new generation, connecting kids with role models in different fields, gaining experiences that make their future goals feel attainable and exciting. So, I mean, that's good. They have themes for this. So they kind of made it a big thing. You know, it kind of started out small, but now it's huge, and so many people are participating in it. But there are some who are upset, and that is districts. Yeah, the PSSA testing is today in some districts. Some parents are upset
that their kids want to take their kids to work can't.
Right. So on social media, some parents are saying standardized testing needs to be eliminated anyway. Take them to work if your work allows that. I pulled my daughter from PSSAs to go to Disney.
Take me.
Exactly, right? How about we teach kids actual studies and not teach them just what's on a test? That's interesting. And another social media user said, we always opt out. So there are parents who are conflicted by it. And I mean, there are positives to that. Some good aspects of Take Your Child to Work Day is educational opportunity. Children can learn about different careers and industries, potentially sparking an interest in future career paths. It strengthens family bonds. Spending time and work together can foster stronger relationships. Some of the bad aspects here states distraction and disruption. Having children in the workplace can be disruptive and affect employee productivity, but that weighs out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so can March Madness and everything else.
exactly. So, I mean, we've been here, we've done that, and it's a fantastic way for our kids to actually know what we do.
And I give our team credit here, Amy Mock and everybody that's put together a program
Absolutely.
For the kids. So it is really educational. So Georgia, you're going to have a chance to learn a lot more about what goes on here and meet other kids too.
Yes, I will.
And your mother, I brought her here.
Yes.
It's been a few semesters.
Don't tell my age, Larry, because they were together.
That's right.
The same age.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
That kind of cured my daughter from wanting to get up at 3 a.m.
Took her out, right?
It's out.
But Jasmine, of course, it benefited her because she gets up at 2 a.m. to be at work. Her schedule was doing at the time, 4 to noon.
Television star.
Yeah, she is a television star. So
CG?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions for Tamira? No further questions? You're good?
Yeah.
He's good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, T.
You're welcome.
I mean, Dr. Josh Shulman, who is the medical director of the Poison Center here in Pittsburgh and an emergency physician and toxicologist, to talk about an important update on an illicit use of a drug. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
I'm good. First and foremost, appreciate the work you do. So important.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be with you, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, we want to make sure that people are aware of this. There is a powerful drug that is showing up as an additive to the local illicit drug supply. So talk us through this. What are we looking at here?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been seeing this, you know, both, you know, our local medical professionals as well as medical professionals in other cities, especially on the East Coast here. That in the illicit opioid supply, you know, the supply of illicit drugs already contaminated with strong opioids like fentanyl. One of the newer things we're seeing is another drug, and it's called metatomidine, as you mentioned here. And what that drug is, it's a strong sedative agent typically used in in anesthesia in both humans and in veterinary medicine. And what we're seeing is, you know, a combination of things here, but the biggest thing is it's increasing the sedation that people are experiencing after overdose, and it's causing some other effects like low heart rate, low blood pressure, in addition to the effects we typically would see after an overdose.
I know with illicit drugs, we've been in a crisis situation for a long time in general, and then fentanyl threw it into a whole nother dimension, making it extremely dangerous and deadly. And that fentanyl getting into other drug supplies too, like cocaine and even some marijuanas from the street. Where do we stand right now with this whole situation with the illegal drugs?
You know, I think, you know, my colleagues and I, we've been, you know, at the forefront of this for years. And, I remember when I first started my training, you know, it was right at the beginning of when we started to see fentanyl enter the illicit drug market. And just kind of several iterations of that going on over the past several years. You know, every couple of years, there's new agents that are entering. So it's an ever-changing field, really. Every time we think we're through, you know, the worst of it, we see something else that comes up later, and we see different adulterants popping up in different supplies, as you mentioned, such as cocaine and other, you know, drugs that you typically wouldn't expect to find fentanyl in. It's an ever-changing field, and it's very, you know, it's never static.
And that said, we're with Dr. Josh Shulman. That said, doctor, we've heard of incidents where people have used cocaine that has been laced with some fentanyl, and it's become deadly in a drug that typically wouldn't be deadly in a single use, potentially. Explain why fentanyl is so dangerous.
Sure, yeah. So fentanyl is an opioid medication. And it causes the centers in the brain that keep us breathing to stop doing their job. So people who are overdosed on opioid medications would have low amounts of oxygen, buildup of waste gases in their bloodstream, and then they would have, you know, bad effects from that. So if it got to an overdose situation, potentially people could, you know, stop breathing and could have very, very serious effects. When you mentioned specifically cocaine, one of the reasons that particular combination is bad, you know, besides the fact that cocaine typically causes increases in heart rate and increases in blood pressure, one of the subtle things about it is people who may not be used to opioid medications are suddenly exposed to potentially large amounts of opioids, and so they would be at risk for really magnified effects of the toxicity, and so they, you know, potentially would be at a higher risk because they're just not used to that amount of drug.
So with this increasingly, I guess, prevalent additive that we're talking about this morning, what do you want people to know about it? How can we help somebody today?
Yeah, I think one of the things we're seeing, you know, is over the years, is the importance of people who are struggling with opioid use, with drug use, trying to get them into early treatment. I think that, you know, encouraging people who people may know who are dealing with this to get help early before, you know, the problem magnifies.
With the 21st pick,
so,
in the,
you know,
2025
whether that's going
draft,
to meetings or
the Pittsburgh
going to,
Steelers choose,
you know,
to make a trade,
treatment at a,
you think,
at a drug and alcohol treatment facility,
picks, maybe,
or
a
even
second
just,
round pick,
you know, talking
and
with
something
their doctor
lower,
about,
maybe a couple of,
you know,
picks, maybe
they'll
be
using.
A trade,
that's really important.
George Pickens as well.
I think the other, another thing is important is for people who are carrying naloxone, people who are using substances, or people who know people are using substances.
came from the Seattle Seahawks.
Naloxone.
Kenneth
with
Grant,
them, you know, naloxone nasal spray kits are widely available from various public health agencies, you know, from pharmacies. Just to have it on hand, you know, they come across somebody who's overdosed on a medication, it could be potentially life-saving. I think it also, one of the other messages is the importance of, you know, the work that we're doing, you know, behind the scenes. We're screening drug samples. We're working with, you know, large multi-center, multi-city trials to, you know, surveil the drug supply so we can stay ahead of these trends. And we can be prepared as physicians to, you know, to take care of patients who come in who are dealing with these phenomena. Those are important messages that, you know, we're constantly working to help people, help the public.
About Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. What I do feel very sure about is that the Steelers will draft a quarterback at some point along the way. 31%
last year, but still unnecessarily too high, even with that reduction. And also, I want people to know, Doc, there is hope. There are success stories of people who have been able to
get themselves out of that lifestyle.
Out of that lifestyle.
Wildfires out of control.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I work with people every day who
what they call the Pine Barrens area. It's near
a constant,
the coast in
you know,
Ocean
fight
County,
to
New
stay,
Jersey.
5,000
people
out of, situations, but
they say this thing's going
to
burn for a while.
Who are doing well and who are succeeding.
Until they get
and
some
so,
rain
you know, for anybody out there who's struggling, who maybe needs
3 weeks ago,
a push in the right direction for the first step, you know, you talk with your medical professionals, talk with people you trust.
In the beginning of April.
You know, it's never too late
and
to take the first
here
step.
In Pittsburgh, the Dr. Josh Shulman, who is the medical director of the Poison Center and emergency physician in Township, toxicologist. Doc, great information. Thank you.
So I guess we're looking
at
semi-drought or drought-like conditions across
from the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk. What will the Steelers do with the 21st pick in tonight's first round of the NFL draft? Will it be a quarterback? Here's GM Omar Khan.
There's some really good players out there. You know, I don't think we're saying, hey, we're taking this position in this round or that round, and we'll just let it come to us.
By the way, we were not in the top. We're all anxious. If you're a Steelers fan, you can't wait, but months of speculation about particularly
like
the quarterback
any
position,
other cities dealing with
and hopefully
and, you know,
in the next few
I think
days,
Rich
Paul will get
made
some
a good
definitive
point
answers.
And then the second guessing will begin sometime tomorrow morning.
And that'll last through spring trade or summer camp and then on into the season.
On Wednesday, a dozen states sued the Trump administration in the U.S. Court of International Trade over tariff policy. It's a legal battle over presidential power.
Congress has the sole authority to set tariff policy. And to that end, Congress has enacted various laws that allow
entirely
the
represents what's
to
going
implement
on.
Tariffs under certain conditions.
We also touched on
this tariff talk,
and he has
yesterday
the president
kicks off.
There is
ratcheted
a new
down
the rhetoric the with China, particularly for older
and we'll
Americans.
See if that bears fruit.
And we start that
145% tariffs is what we're talking
the
about
FBI
ratcheting down from Larry, and that tariff would apply to fireworks made in
older.
China,
victims
and that has U.S. retailers canceling orders ahead of Independence Day.
Up 33%.
And I would imagine there are a lot of people waiting to see.
McFarland tells us
it was just
more and more often
not that long ago where fireworks sales were legalized in the state of Pennsylvania. And by the way, this
months.
Is a very
never
big
good.
Independence
Rich
Day.
Bruin the 250. Of the criminals
and if there is a trade deal with China, Mr. President says
instead,
we're having
day,
a trade deal underway
computer,
right now, and the Chinese say no, we're not.
His information
but if it does work out a deal with China, will it happen in time or will the fireworks supply chain be interrupted?
Lock up your computer. Yeah, don't shut your computer off.
The criminals convinced this Vietnam veteran to wire money and open up access to his bank account to clear things up. Today's report from the FBI shows new technology has triggered a surge in identity theft, data breaches, and swindles. More than $16 billion in computer crime losses last year, an amount the FBI calls staggering, and a $4 billion jump from just a year earlier. And more than a quarter of it from victims over the age of 60.
It's text messages, it's phone calls, it's emails.
Ben Winters of the Consumer Federation of America says artificial intelligence has supercharged how fraudsters do business.
Are they allowing people to execute more schemes or better schemes?
Both. So you're able to do more at scale, but also less likely for a clear mistake that would set someone off and not fall for that.
The FBI's new report says it's now getting 2,000 complaints a day. Bruin never recovered a penny.
I think a lot of people would watch that and go, I would be irate.
Worth the effort. Who are you going to get angry at?
They never caught the people responsible.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't know who to get angry at.
This is becoming more difficult to stop because so many more people are carrying more devices. And with artificial intelligence, the experts say, those imperfections that are a red flag of a scheme or fraud email are easier to mask. Scott McFarlane, CBS News, Washington.
What jumped out at me from that report, Paul, was an uptick of 33% of these crimes where they're able to get money from people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, targeting older Americans, 60 plus.
And they use fear to motivate people.
Right.
That's the key component.
And
surprise and fear.
Right. And they do it. And there's a panic feeling if somebody gets a phone call. And now with artificial intelligence able to clone voices, they've successfully done that where they might get a grandchild's voice and call the grandparents, and it sounds like the grandchild is calling with this crisis that needs immediate attention.
Yeah, but it's actually a script that they wrote for the artificial intelligence voice to read out loud.
And they're suggesting that a family should have a safe word, a code word. So if you called somebody and needed help, what's the word? And if the family member doesn't know the word, then you move on.
Mm-hmm.
So just a heads up, a 33% increase in cyber crime.
I guess the best thing to do, Larry, when you receive a message on your computer, either a instant message of some kind or a text on your phone or maybe an email message that's concerning to you and has you worried, first thing to do is if they're masquerading as your bank, check with your bank first.
Right. And also, those emails, and I've been getting more and more of those that says they want to put $5 million into my bank account.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't have gave them my account numbers. Time we check in with the food editor, Pittsburgh Magazine's own Christy Graver. And you can see Christy on the radio with our live stream, katycanradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Christy, good morning.
Good morning. It's a lovely day.
Lovely day. Before you know it, Mother's Day is going to be here. I went to the store yesterday and saw signs, don't forget about mom. I'm like, wow, that's actually just around the corner, and you have a way to celebrate mom.
We do. So Mother's Day is May 11th this year, and we have a short form on our website where you could submit a message about your mom or your maternal figure in your life. Selected notes may be published on PittsburghMagazine.com and shared in our 412 newsletter. So I can't wait to see what my teenager says about me.
Yeah, well, that's always the X factor. But yeah, Mother's Day is May 11th already, and this will be the last weekend of April. Of course, it feels like it's August. We're going to have a high of 85 today.
Nice.
All right. Going to Zillion Opal, Low Lev Brewings from Lawrenceville, headed north too.
Right. So tomorrow, the Lawrenceville-based business, it's named after the lower level of the house where the brothers Ted and Scott Slesinski began home brewing. That'll open a second location in Zilly. The Main Street building was constructed in 1903, and it served as a Barks root beer bottling facility for many years. I had no clue. I love Barks. That's my favorite root beer. But Low Lev now occupies the warehouse space in the rear of the complex. There's free parking back there. It's really beautiful. There's two boutiques in the front, and there is a cycling studio upstairs. So, go exercise, drink a few beers, and then have some retail therapy.
You know what? It's Pittsburgh. I always say you're a half person from everyone. So my son grew up with Derek and Anna, one of the other brothers that are part of Low Lev, and they're very excited about this expansion. And
yes, it's a beautiful place.
And I love
really big.
Zilly. I love Zilly.
I think it's a
cool little town, and they've done a great job of keeping it, almost like a Norman Rockwell painting up there.
It really is, with the Strand and everything, Santa Claus's house every December. It's been a tradition in my family. I grew up in Cranberry, so I really love Zilly. You should check it out. Lots of new things are popping up even like this week, so check it out.
And Andy Masick, the CEO and president of the Heinz History Center, had hinted a while back that there might be some big news for the Heinz History Center.
there's lots of news for the Heinz History Center this week. It's the oldest cultural institution in Western Pennsylvania, and it's continuing to reshape its future. The Pittsburgh Planning Commission has approved the demolition of four buildings behind the History Center for an expansion that'll add 15,000 square feet, and that will include a visitor orientation theater, exhibition space, classrooms, and more. I'm going there today right after this because they're giving media a sneak peek at their new Pittsburgh's Hidden History exhibition, which opens on Saturday. So I can't wait. I'm a big Pittsburgh history nerd, so like I'm really excited.
Yeah, I am too. And the fact is, a couple of summers ago, I took a tour with Andy, and there's so many things that are there that you don't realize that are there. And they have so many layers. And if you love history, it's such a great place, and they are back-to-back award winners too, right?
Right, and it's just a beautiful place. If you haven't been there for a while, I mean, it's just a really fun thing. You could spend all day. I know years ago they took a little bridge out from Monroeville Mall, like from that was in Dawn of the Dead. So I'm going to ask them about that today because that's why I'm wearing my shirt. So, like I said, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I could see. What's it say on the front of your shirt?
It's Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Filmed in Monroeville Mall in 1978.
I know. That's very good. And I think about that when I see all these zombie shows like This Is Us and before that, obviously, The Walking Dead. And then way back, the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yes, you know I'm a huge fan of that. Evan City.
Is that how we became the zombie capital of the world?
It absolutely is. So we need to embrace that more.
All right. Well, good luck today. If you see Andy, tell him I said hello.
I will. Thank you so much, Larry. Have a good one.
Read all about it, Pittsburgh Magazine with Christy Graver. And if you haven't been to that Heinz History Center in the Strip District, first of all, it is an amazing opportunity, and there's something there for everybody. Aaron, when's the last time you visited the Heinz History Center?
I can confidently say it was in the summer in 2018.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's been a few semesters.
It's like it's an amazing place, and it's worth another visit.
I can only imagine what's changed since the last time I was there, so it's on the list.
Here's a little sidebar. Did you know, because of their affiliation with the Smithsonian, that they have to maintain a certain air quality in the building? And it is to spec. It is literally the cleanest air you can breathe anywhere in the city is in the Heinz History Center.
That's unreal.
I did not know that.
No, I did not.
And now you do. And about yesterday, Aaron, with the beautiful weather, drove through North Park. It looked like a summer afternoon and felt like it. Now it's going to be almost 10 degrees warmer today. So now it's like a late August day with temps in the mid-80s. You know who knows a lot about this stuff?
I have an idea.
From the National Weather Service, meteorologist Mike Kennedy. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
One of the things that surprised me, and we don't think about this much here, especially in April, is the potential for wildfires because it's been dry and now with this heat. So that's a concern, correct?
Correct.
So,
yes. So, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, yes. So you're absolutely correct with that. And today we have the certain criteria for fire weather watches and red flag warnings. We go by three. Today we have two out of the three, so that's why we have a special weather statement out, because there is a elevated risk of wildfire spread and brush fires in these situations, simply because our relative humidities are going to be in the 20s, and the fuel moisture, we go by the 1,000 down to 10-minute fuel moisture, just to measure our moisture in dead wood, is low. So the one component we're missing today are winds, which will be very light.
And that said, here we've seen fires in New Jersey that are still burning now, very unlikely in April, and then a few weeks ago on Long Island, we also saw wildfires, and we even had one here a couple of weeks ago in Shaler that burned 2.5 acres. Meanwhile, ignition sources are different. I know people don't do this generally in California, but people here who smoke and drive sometimes tend to flick
a cigarette out the window, which can obviously be an ignition source, right?
Correct, yes.
And what would some other ignition sources be?
Believe it or not, parking a car over like very dry grass can be one. Let's see here.
And that's something you wouldn't really think about, but it is a potential. And how long is this watch it out for, a special weather statement?
It would just be for this afternoon. In the evening when we finally do cool down, the relative humidity will increase, and so we'll miss that one key component to that results in that elevated risk. And our humidity will be tomorrow. It should not be a concern because we have our next weather system approaching, and we'll have a lot of moisture evection, and our humidity values are going to come up. Yeah, and we'll see some rain across the region.
Yeah, we could actually use a little rain here. It's been a drier than normal April, certainly compared to last year. Mike, thanks for the update.
Hey, no problem. You have a good day.
All right. Meteorologist Mike Kennedy at the National Weather Service. And so we'll keep you posted. But something you wouldn't think about, if you park where there's tall grass, that's a potential ignition source. Would have never thought of that. At the Vatican, we are hearing more about who's coming to the funeral for Pope Francis on Saturday. And with the details, CBS's Tina Kraus.
The faithful lined up for a second day to pay their respects to Pope Francis as he lies in state at St. Peter's Basilica. Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni was among the tens of thousands of mourners to walk past the Pope's simple wooden coffin yesterday, with crowds, including many Americans, filing in well past midnight.
Walking in there, it was so silent, but you could feel how much people really cared about him and how much love there was for this man.
The outpouring of love for Pope Francis is incredible. I waited for just over 3 hours to see him, and the atmosphere inside St. Peter's Basilica is truly touching, with mourners given more than a moment, but precious time to pray, to take photos, to remember the solemn occasion. Around 170 dignitaries and heads of state are expected to attend the Pope's funeral on Saturday, which Vatican officials say will mostly take place outside in St. Peter Square. The College of Cardinals continues to meet as anticipation grows for the conclave, the historic process to select the next pontiff.
It's going to mean a lot to the world. Choosing the new pope will be huge.
Pope Francis was a fan of soccer, or as the rest of the world calls it, football. Yesterday, fans of his beloved hometown football club, San Lorenzo, celebrated Mass in his honor in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Italy's top league, Serie A, held moments of silence in his memory Wednesday before resuming matches. Pope Francis's body will lie in state for two more days, giving crowds plenty of time to get a personal moment with him before his funeral Mass here in St. Peter Square on Saturday.
CBS's Tina Kraus. It is Take Your Kids to Work Day, and our own Amy Mock has coordinated a five-station Odyssey effort to welcome the children of our coworkers, right?
Well, I love this day. It is so fun to be able to host these kids and young adults to come into the radio station and get to see what we do every day.
They're traumatized to some degree, I see, as I look at their faces.
It's early. I think they might be sleeping in class normally by now. I'm not sure.
You know, hey, it's okay to smile. Let's see.
I see a few smiles.
Yeah. Well, so we have... How many kids do you think we're going to
have? We're probably going to have about 15 kids throughout the day. Some of the parents' shifts start a little bit later, so they'll be here throughout the day. But we're doing a tour of all five of our stations right now. They're going to get to do a photo shoot with Ben Tenuta in a little bit. We'll have Raising Cane's for lunch, which I think is why half of them are here. And Millie's Ice Cream for dessert. We're going to have a performance in the theater by a live and local artist that has been on 100.7 Star today. So lots of fun stuff today.
All right, let's hear everybody
What are we going to have them say?
Happy Take Your Kids to Work Day.
On three, happy Take Your Kids to Work Day.
They're not going to participate.
No, I can see that. One, two, three.
Happy Take Your Kids to Work Day.
Thank you.
From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, what will the Steelers do with that 21st pick in tonight's first round of the NFL draft? Will it be a quarterback? Here's GM Omar Khan.
There's some really good players out there. You know, I don't think we're saying, hey, we're taking this position in this round and or that round, and we'll just let it come to us.
And we shall see the long-anticipated draft. The conversations will then be reunited with based on who they pick.
Well, at least it's going to come to an end speculation-wise and not a moment too soon.
Amen.
Wednesday, a dozen states sued the Trump administration in the U.S. Court of International Trade. It was over tariff policy. It's a legal battle over presidential power.
Congress has the sole authority to set tariff policy. And to that end, Congress has enacted various laws that allow the president to implement tariffs under certain conditions.
The House and Senate, really, you don't hear much from them, good or bad. It's just whatever the president's doing with executive orders and tariffs.
And 145% tariffs on fireworks made in China, right? Have U.S. retailers canceling their orders ahead of Independence Day. That could lead to a shortage and some pretty high prices.
And it really hasn't been that long since Pennsylvania legalized the sale of fireworks in our state.
And it turned into a pretty big business.
A huge business this summer, too, because it's our 250th birthday, so there are extra special plans being made.
And so, Larry, the question now is, if there is a trade deal with China, as has been reported, or at least there are rumors of it, will it happen in time, or will the fireworks supply chain be interrupted?